So I just did 5 ride shares. And I said to myself before I started, I said, I'm going to do an experiment. I'm going to see if some, I'm going to try to have conversations with every single one of them. I don't care who they are. And I had conversations with every single one of them. Last guy was, he was his day off, and it's only like 5:30, and he was drunk. He said, I'm taking an Uber because I'm drunk. He said, I'm plastered. But he could talk, you know. I said, well, you probably saved some money. He said, yeah, it's $20,000 now. I said, okay, you saved $20,000. This one lady I talked to, she came from the north, up north. That was an older, that guy was an older white guy, construction worker. The one lady I talked to for a while, she came from up north, black girl. She's probably like 30, maybe 27, 25. I don't know how old she was, but she came from up north and is down here renting an apartment, telling me how much she paid for her apartment, and told me how much it cost to live up there. She was in, where was she at? I said, how cold? Chicago. I said, how many months is it cold up there? She said 4 or 5. I said, how do they get anything done on their houses? How do they do any work on their houses if half the year is cold, you know? She said, I don't know. But anyway, she was in an apartment. She was talking about how down here minimum wage was only $7. I said, well, right here where you live, I said, there's a lot of apartment communities, and I know those ladies in the office make pretty good money, and they also make commission when they rent an apartment. You could just walk around and put your application in. She said, that's a good idea. I'm definitely going to do that. And what was the other conversation? Oh, the other lady, that was black girl, about 28. This other lady, she's white girl, heavy set. She's probably about 45, and we were talking, and we were just talking about a lot of stuff, talking about how the pandemic and the inflation, I was telling her, I said, you know, I hear a lot of stories, and I have compassion on people going through all this stuff, and I think we've all been hit with so much, the floods and all. You got to have compassion on people. And she's talking about her kind of work. She went back to school, took about 3 months to get some kind of coding thing to get a better job or whatever, or to put on a resume. And she was talking about how, yeah, some people, you don't know what they're going through. They might have mental problems. I said, yeah, they might have health problems. And then we started talking about vitamins and magnesium and cod liver oil and different things. Pretty good conversation. And then what was the other conversation? There was like 5 people. I had conversations, all 5 of them. The first one, I had conversation with the kids. The mama was on the phone the whole time, and we went to pick up the kid. And the kid was talking to me. Her mom was on the phone, wasn't even talking to her. She said, hey, how you doing? I said, hey, how was school? And the mom was ignoring her. And I'm sitting here thinking, communication, the whole purpose of this experiment today was how can people, do people communicate anymore? But this mom, she was so caught up in her new venture. She's talking about building a website, and they were talking about the JavaScript and getting these files over there and the database and all that. So I guess she's a computer engineer, and they're trying to build a database. And so she caught up on that phone call that the kid's trying to talk to her. She gets another call, and it's like, that's sad. So I had a conversation with the kid while the mom was on the phone. They were in the back seat, you know. What was the other one? There was another one. There's another rider. What were we talking about? Anyway, my point is, I was doing an experiment to see if people even communicate anymore. And it's pretty sad when you have let's say there's a significant other out there that you can't communicate with. It's pretty sad that you can have interesting conversations with Uber riders or strangers more than people can with the people in their own household or their friends or whatever. It's sad. And just like that mama with the kid, I guess people get used to being around somebody. They probably said it all, but even still, there should be spiritual. The spiritual's unlimited. There's unlimited conversations in the spiritual. I mean, that drunk guy started talking about something about his son, his brother knew somebody. There's a picture of him with Reagan or somebody or something. I was like, I don't really care. He's just talking. He's drunk. He's talking foolishness. So the reason I stopped doing late night driving is because I don't want to be around that foolishness. And they go, most of them go crazy and want to fight and stuff. And so the experiment was, can I have a conversation with Uber riders who are strangers? Are people able to talk anymore? So the answer is yes, they can communicate. So if you got people around you not wanting to communicate, it's almost like a MK Ultra mind control where they're wanting to devalue you. Is it all about what they want to say? Is it a two-way conversation? That's what I was experimenting. Do they listen to me? I'm listening to their story. They're listening to me. I have compassion on what they're going through. Are they hearing me? Is it just a one-way conversation? So then you get people around you and you wonder if the Freemasons are actually putting these agents in your life, because they will talk, but they won't listen. There's people around you that will interrupt you while you're talking, Jezebel spirit. There's people around you that think they know better than you, and you probably have a whole lot more education than they ever even imagined, you know? But they don't think you... It's like they're trying to overpower somebody, and it's only about them, you know? And then you see that pattern, the people you see on a regular basis or talk to or whatever, you see the pattern, and it's like, okay, this is like a mind game, a spiritual mind game that the devil's playing on individuals, trying to isolate individuals and all that. Let's say you had a friend that you knew in school or something. And every time you talk, they're trying to ridicule you or say something like, just kind of laugh or mock or whatever. Online, you see people typing stuff that mock and laugh. And so it's almost like, okay, who are the agents? And what spirit is controlling them? I mean, even the drunk guy even the drunk guy was having a conversation. I'd say something, he'd say something back. You know, it was a two-way conversation. It wasn't just a one-way conversation. My point is, if you start to see a pattern with people that it's a one-way conversation, it's just a one-way conversation. If you start to see that pattern and you start to see it with five people in your reality, it's got to be a spiritual attack. Because what's the devil want to do? Dehumanize. If you're in a conversation with somebody and it's a two-way conversation, that's healthy. But if it's only one-way conversation, that's dehumanizing. How is it that you can be married to somebody and it's only a one-way conversation and they don't hear what you're saying? How's that even possible? Dehumanization. Demoralization, demasculating. If it's the woman, that the man's not listening to her opinion, it's the other way around. If it's a one-way conversation, it's a dead conversation. And if it's a dead conversation, it's dead communion. And if it's dead communion, it's a dead union. Because conversation is everything. Together turn. I promise you, I've decoded this reality to the hilt, to the source code. And if you can't have a conversation, a normal back and forth conversation, you're either dealing with a narcissist, a psychopath, a selfish person, or somebody who hates you, doesn't respect you, doesn't want to listen to you, doesn't, whatever, discounting you. It's abuse. It's absolute abuse. And you've been abused. Let's say you're in the situation for 5, 10, 15, 20 years, and there's fighting and back and forth. There's no real healthy conversation. Each person's fighting, or one's not, and the other one's is. It's abuse. If somebody's ignoring somebody, let's say it's a job or something, and it's just always, you know, I don't care if it's a, let's say a new person comes in and they're saying this and you listen to them, but if you're just ridiculing, okay, you know the job, they don't. So it's kind of funny to you that they don't really know how this works and it's so simple. But if you're not patient with them, that's abuse. Same with kids. If you're not like that kid got in the car, hey, how you doing? How was school? You know, but the mom is ignoring her. Maybe it was a one-time thing, but if she's doing that every day, that's abusing the child, because the child's happy and trying to have a conversation, even though the kid's stuff is probably silly stuff. I promise you, the word communion, the word conversation, the word back and forth, communication, if they're so selfish, they can't hear what you have to say. It's abuse. And it could be insecurities. It could be self-conscious, whatever the word is. It could be something. But I promise you, if this pattern goes on, that person's going to have a mental issue. And they're not going to feel like anybody wants to communicate with them, or anybody cares, or anybody. I'm serious. My whole mission today was to test if people can have healthy, normal, back and forth conversation. And if it's true, then why is it in a marriage it ain't true? Why was your wife, when you're dating somebody and they think they got you, then the communication stops? What was their motive? Why are they so selfish? Why did they talk to draw you in, the man or the woman? This is really never attacking women. You know, people say they hate the Apostle Paul. He hates women. No, he don't. He's trying to save you. He's trying to help you. He's trying to help you. Find out what your role is down here in the scroll of life, because it is a book. You're in a book. But the healthy back and forth communication, even if you are smarter than that person, let them talk. Even if you're spiritually smart, let them talk. Even if you know your trade. I remember my first job as electrician assistant. That guy was the meanest man I've ever seen in my life. And he was the most stupid man I ever seen too. Because after I got out of college, I saw him out, broke down. And I helped him fix his tire. A friend of mine was with me. I don't know what we were doing. We were out in the country. I said, is that who I think it is? The guy was broke down. I said, you mind if we stop and help him? I thought he had changed. I thought he would have changed. I said, you don't remember me, do you? No, I don't remember you. And his wife was with him. He was doing the same thing to his wife that he was everybody else. She was like this little puppy dog in the corner, scared to say anything. They were like 70 or 80 years old, and she was, you could see that his whole reality is to shut people down. And because he thought, I'm this great electrician, I can treat people how I want. It didn't work out for him too well, I'm sure, because he had to be miserable. The introspection people don't have, the compassion on other people, the patience and the understanding and the, if they don't have that, something's wrong. Something is wrong. It's awful strange. I don't know how old that kid was, maybe 12 or something. She was happy and joyous, but the mama was on that phone doing that conference call about that new venture they're doing and worried about database, and I'm learning so much, and I've got to send that paperwork, I've got to send that file, and I got to do this. And the very thing that is most important gets in the car and is being ignored. Now, this might not be, I'm just seeing one little snapshot, so my perspective might not be true with her. But the kid was all free and open and nice. The mama was so closed. Couldn't even, I said, hey, how you doing? She was so focused on her phone, she couldn't even say, hey, how you doing? But after me and the kid talked a little bit, not much, and I pulled in the driveway. I normally just stay at the road, but I pulled in the driveway this time to see what would happen. So I pull in the driveway so the kid's not out in the road. She gets out of the car in the driveway instead of in the road. And the mama's in the driveway instead of the road. And the kid said, bye. I said, see you later. Have fun. Take it easy. Whatever, I said. Be nice to the kid, you know. And then you heard the mom follow the kid. The mom actually started being nice because she could see the child was being nice. And I think she probably felt guilty. Crying shame. It's a crying shame. It's a crying shame. It's a crying shame. Every corporate system is destroying your soul. You can't take the time to smell the roses or whatever that saying is, and your soul is being destroyed. You can't even have a two-way conversation anymore. Everybody's so caught up. Oh, that one conversation of that other lady, the 45-year-old white lady, heavyset woman, she's saying how she cut off social media and all. I said, yeah, you got to cut it off. It's messing with people's minds. It's messing with people's minds. 6,000 rides, and these people have normal, healthy conversations. But you see it in families and churches and jobs that people can't even talk a normal. So if you disagree, you might disagree, but still listen to the other person's perspective. Don't talk over them and shut them down and call them stupid. And you might not even be calling them stupid, but they feel stupid because everybody's shutting them down. And some people don't talk. Some people, their thoughts are a little bit slower. And so just sit back and just listen and let them talk. It might be slow, but let them talk and let them express something. That's healthy. That's respect. That's showing respect for somebody. Not everybody has a sharp mind. Not everybody can respond real fast, you know. I sure can't. But these unhealthy people, shutting people down, cutting them off in conversation, thinking their perspective is the only perspective that's right. And it might be, they might be right, but still, people have to learn. People still have to learn. I think I'm going to do this experiment for 5 days. Just see how many conversations. So that one lady didn't have a conversation. Wasn't nice to a stranger. Wasn't even nice to her daughter. Was on the phone the whole time. But she learned from her daughter and saw how happy her daughter was. And then she finally opened up as she was getting out of the car and said, okay, see you later. I said, take it easy. It's sad. That's what society's doing to people. I'm breaking strongholds. I'm breaking fake realities. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show you to be aware of this stuff because it's a devil's system. There's five verses that I had AI pull up that we're in a evil present world. We're in a fallen world. And if you're not consciously aware of the game, the mind game being played on everybody with all these pandemics and all these storms, everybody's in shock and not having compassion on people, how are you going to beat the devil? How are you going to beat the devil if you're not self-aware of your of what you're doing and how it affects other people? You know, how are you going to beat the devil? You're only going to hurt these people.